Welcome to City Talks, a monthly podcast looking at the big issues facing UK cities and the latest thinking on urban policy. I'm your host, Andrew Carter, from the think tank Centre for Cities. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to City Minutes. I'm Andrew Carter, and today I'm joined by my colleagues, Katrin Enenkel, who is a senior analyst at the Centre, and Tom Sells, who is a researcher. Katrin and Tom are the authors of our new report, Building Back Better, How to Recover from COVID-19, which is sponsored by HSBC UK. And the report analyses where and what types of jobs were created and lost over the decade running up to the pandemic, the so-called jobs miracle period. Welcome to you both. Okay, Katrin, let's start with you. Can you outline the main findings of the report?
Yeah, sure. So our report looks at the so-called jobs miracle. That's a period around of 6 years prior to the crisis in which the UK saw a very strong increase of jobs. So in 2019, there were around 2.7 million more private sector jobs than there were in 2013. But what we also found out is that this number is actually masking a much larger churn of jobs that were created and lost in the same period. And so to create actually these 2.7 million jobs, more than 19.3 million private jobs were created in the 6 years and 16.6 million were lost in the same period. So very, very big numbers behind the 2.7 million. And that means if we do the calculations that around seven jobs were created in order to create one of those this new private sector jobs. And we are now in a recovery period. And so looking at this big churn of jobs, we also can, it will have an impact on how we think about the recovery after the crisis. So we know, for instance, that the claims for unemployment increased by 1.3 million people just between March and November 2020. And if it still holds, that we need seven new jobs to gain one lasting job, it would mean around 9.4 million new jobs would need to be created to restore the labor market to a level prior to the crisis. Very big dimensions.
Very good, very good. So if that's the overall finding and the scale of the challenge, let's dig into it in a little bit more detail. Say something about the geography of where those jobs were created and the role of cities and large towns in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first thing to do to say is when we look at our 62 cities and large towns across the UK, is there's a large variety when it comes to job creation. There are some cities like Oxford or Milton Keynes or Burnley, which had a job growth of more than 20%. And then there are other cities like Wigan or Aberdeen, Nottingham, they saw a growth less than 3%, large variety. But I think the most interesting finding of the report when it comes to cities is that cities in large towns played a very important role for the overall job creation of the UK. So when we just look at the 10 largest cities, including London, they account for 3.5% of all land. But in the end, they created almost half of all private sector jobs created between 2013 and 19.
So that's a big find in a sense. Yeah. Just reminds us of the importance of our big urban areas to the national economy. We also looked at the different types of businesses that were doing the job creation during this period. Say a little bit more about that.
Yeah, when we look at businesses or types of businesses, we have two large categories we're looking at. First, what kind of businesses created those jobs? And it was mainly startups and new branches, which were the job engines of the growth. They created 3.7 million more jobs than they lost. But then existing businesses, which were already in the economy, they lost around 1 million more jobs than they created in the period between 2013 and 2019.
Very good. And we also looked at skill levels of those jobs as well. Just tell us about that.
Yeah. So that's another aspect the report is looking at. It's the industry makeup of the jobs miracle. We look at two broad sectors. The first sector is like local services jobs, which serve the local market, hairdressers, retail, supermarkets, but also theatres and sports clubs. And the second sector we are looking at are exporting jobs. These are industries which sail beyond their local markets and are industries like car manufacturing, investment banking, advertising. And the finding we have with regards to these two broad sectors is that more than two-thirds of these 2.7 million jobs, they were actually in local service sectors. And the reason for that is first that these kind of jobs have in generally a larger share in the economy, but they also saw a much higher growth during the whole period than exporting jobs. And when we look again at the crisis, we find that sectors affected by COVID-19 lockdown restrictions were actually large contributors to job creation. So industries like hospitality, accommodation, and construction, we know that they were very much affected. They accounted for around 28% of private jobs created, and they made up 32% of all job retention scheme claims in July 2020.
Brilliant. Okay, Catherine, thank you very much for that that great overview of the findings and the different aspects that we explored. Tom, turning to you, we say something about the link between the jobs created and productivity and pay stagnation. What did we find?
Yeah, so as Catherine said, really since 2013, Britain successfully created a large number of jobs, which obviously play a crucial part in the post-COVID-19 recovery. But she also said that around 2/3 of these jobs were in local services industries. And jobs in these sectors generally tend to have lower levels of productivity and also less scope for productivity increases. And the sectors that are more important for productivity are the exporting businesses. So jobs in these tech sectors tend to have higher productivity, and also their ability to take on new innovations means they have greater potential to improve this productivity even further. But the fact that this sector grew more slowly over this period means that we'll have kind of knock-on effects for productivity and wages and general quality of life in Britain. So at a national level, the economy's failure to create many exporting jobs is reflected in the stagnation of productivity over this period. So high-performing exporting sectors such as IT, communications, financial services and manufacturing, which prior to the crisis saw productivity grow pretty fast, like faster than most other sectors, have actually performed pretty badly in the years since. So IT grew at around 1/4 of its previous rate. Productivity in manufacturing barely changed, and productivity in financial services actually fell. So places such as London and Slough that have a history of kind of specializing in these industries and being highly productive are some of the places in which the private sector has recently seen weak performances in terms of increasing productivity. And this suggests that from a place-based perspective, it's actually Britain's high productivity cities that are to blame for the economy's productivity puzzle. So then how does this feed into wages? Well, if workers see slower improvements in productivity, then they're not able to increase the amount of output for firms, be this in goods or services, which means that the firms that employ them can't really afford to pay them higher wages. And in recent years, as productivity in the UK has stagnated, so too have wages. So seeing no real term increase over most of the period since the financial crisis, having pretty much only just caught up with pre-crisis level. And this acts as a squeeze on the rest of the economy, as lower wage growth for these workers means they have less money to spill over into spending and other nearby local services. And this knock-on effect means that the underperformance of the exporting sector really kind of reverberates through the rest of the economy, keeping both wages and quality of life from improving.
Okay, so this reminds us that we have a kind of large and relatively new job creation challenge, but also a long-standing and difficult productivity challenge. So what does this mean for the economy as we recover from COVID, Tom?
Well, obviously the pandemic's led to mass job losses, and it's really important the government looks to encourage a new wave of job creation to offset these losses. However, just replicating the successes of the past by creating more local service jobs won't really be enough to overcome the poor productivity performance that the UK is currently faced with. So as the government looks to build back better, they should not only focus on solving the productivity puzzle facing the UK's stronger cities and towns, but should also look to address the longer term productivity challenges so faced by cities and large towns further north and those places that kind of define the levelling up agenda.
That reminds us that obviously jobs and employment are incredibly important, but we also need to think about the nature of the jobs and the nature of the employment that is going to be generated over the next decade or so. So just very briefly, just summarize some of the policies that the government should now take forward in order to build back better.
Mm-hmm. So there's obviously the policies which we recommended for increasing jobs through supporting the high street and hospitality sectors, but to help cities and large towns become more attractive places to do business. So kind of to attract in these high-skilled exporting jobs, we need to create the right conditions for exporting firms to do well. So the first place that to start would be in supporting research and development, particularly in the private sector, because this is an area the UK lags behind many of its international counterparts. So the support should really focus on encouraging private investment through tax credits, particularly for those sectors that create intangible assets. We'd also want help to help city centres perform as well as they can. So we know this is where a lot of exporting businesses locate. And the government should create a £5 billion city centre productivity fund so that councils can bid to make their city centres more attractive places to do business. Another major drag on productivity is the tax on plant and machinery as part of the business rates valuation process, which is in effect a kind of tax on investment. So although the recently announced temporary super deduction will go some way to incentivize this type of investment in the short term, there is a need for more permanent change to the business rates valuation system. This is something that we actually recommended our recent report on business rates reform, as it's something that will give businesses greater long-term certainty to make these investments over a kind of longer time frame. Productivity could also be given a boost through attracting in investment from international exporting sectors. And the Office for Investment has a real potential to play a key role in this. But the government has now got to specify what exactly this office will do and how it will interact with both existing investment agencies in the UK and local government. And finally, there are a number of institutional reforms that the government should put in place if it's really serious about tackling the issues of productivity. The first would be to empower local governments through both reorganisation and devolution. And the second would be to push ahead with planning reforms, as this would not only create jobs, but also increase affordability, which would leave more money to be spent or invested in the wider economy.
Excellent. You can find the report, Building Back Better, How to Recover from COVID-19, on our website, centrefortcities.org. My thanks to Tom and to Katrin for taking us through the main findings and implications.
Thank you for listening to this episode of City Talks, brought to you by Centre for Cities. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Centre for Cities. Please rate, review and subscribe if you liked what you heard. You can also follow the Centre on Twitter at Centre for Cities, or like us on LinkedIn for the latest updates on what the Centre is up to. If you have any comments on the episode or suggestions for topics we should cover in the future, we'd love to hear from you. Do tweet us or send an email to info@centreforcities.org. The music was from Palace Fires by Johnny Foreigner, used with permission, and all rights are reserved.